Tea and coffee will be served in the schoolroom after the service, and you're invited to join us. If anyone would like prayer after the service, you can come forward, or you can just stay in your seat and someone will come and pray with you. Safeguarding session, as I've been asked to remind anyone who's coming to that on Tuesday, they're not going to serve tea and coffee because they want to be quick. Not extend it, but there will be water, so you will, all will be well. All will be well. It's funny the things you have to read out; you wouldn't believe. Okay, I want to remind you that the next film night will be held here next Saturday, the 8th of February, 6 o'clock for the meal and 7:30 for the film. The film is entitled "The Case for Christ." Please let Diane know by Friday if you're going.
Wednesday.
Oh, it said in the. All right, Wednesday. If it's Wednesday, it's Wednesday. If you're coming for the meal, sorry, that was in the notices because I took it from there. Okay, not Friday, Wednesday. Okay, but it's Diane you need to let know. Next Sunday, Lorraine Wheeler will be preaching here at Bethlehem, and we'll be joined by our friends from Bethesda. This has been a very special week, starting on Monday with the special events to celebrate the 80th anniversary of the liberation of the Nazi concentration camp at Auschwitz in 1945. 27th of January has become known as Holocaust Memorial Day. The ceremony in Poland was attended by world leaders, including King Charles, and most importantly, some of the survivors who were well enough to travel and be there. It was broadcast worldwide. There was full coverage on the BBC. And there were also other celebrations at the Guildhall in the City of London with the Prince and Princess of Wales were there and in other cities around the world. We must never forget what happened there. And we must pledge to never let it happen again. Thank you to Helen for planning the service and to Heather for playing for us on the music practice we had on Thursday. But we're delighted to have Sheila with us and Heidi as well with us today. So thank you to you all who came. And a big thank you to Brenda on computer and Barbara, who's our steward today. Now, I don't believe there is a birthday this week, but does anyone know differently? No, we don't have a birthday. Okay. So we'll go on to our call to worship. It's from Psalm 71, and the theme of the psalm is God's constant help from childhood to old age, our lives as a testimony of what God has done for us. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From my birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. So we're starting to praise with our three songs. And the first is Let There Be Love. 3, 2, 1.
This morning, and for those that are disappointed there's no activities on the table, I'm sorry, we couldn't conjure anything up first thing when we got here, but it's lovely to be here and to be with you all. Let us continue our praise and worship as we come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Praise the Lord's glorious name. Praise him for glory and power. Praise the Lord who blesses us with peace and whose spirit is poured out for us. Praise the Lord whose spirit is kindled within our hearts. Praise the Lord whose very being has transformed us and walks with us each step of life. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we adore you. You care for us, tend to our wounds, and swaddle us with love. Lord Jesus Christ, you were born for us, lived for us, suffered and died for us, and was raised to life for us. Holy Spirit, you were poured out upon us at baptism and beyond, poured out for our blessing and our faith. We thank you, God, praise and adore you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We've got just a couple of pictures. I was very lucky just after Christmas to go away with my husband's family to the French Alps in the snow. They were all skiing. I wasn't. I have a dodgy knee, never been before. But they didn't want to leave me here because it was going to be New Year. And so I went along, wondering what it would be like. And I was blessed with the views. I'm sure some of you have been to the snowy Alps, have been skiing, and been to snowy places. And it was just beautiful. Just another picture of the lovely view. But what struck me when I was there, I was wearing a white coat. Also, I thought it was a white coat till I stood by the trees that were covered in snow. Because I had a lot of time to myself, I was thinking and looking at scripture and praying. And one of the verses came to me that although our sins are like crimson, and there was a picture of berries, that God washes us clean and white as snow. And I never realised how brilliant that white of snow was. And I know some of you are feeling a bit chilly this morning and we've no snow outside. But I just wanted us to think and marvel at God's wonderful creation. And that image of being washed as white as snow. But also within our faith, we can have a bit of fun. And I came back, and after I'd been back here probably a week or so, I got a WhatsApp call, video call from my eldest grandson. Granny, it's snowing. We've got a snow day. And he was so excited. And they built a fantastic snowman. Now, for those of you who follow football, you have to excuse the Leeds United hat and scarf. But it just reminded me as well how much fun we can have in God's creation and that wonderful snow. And how excited they were. Now, we're not all excited when we see the snow outside, but they were certainly excited because they had two snow days. And we're going to come back to that later on in the service. We're now going to have our prayers of confession. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal God, we have walked journeys we shouldn't have walked, done things we shouldn't have done, said words that should not have been spoken. We have ignored the gifts of your Spirit, seeking to quench it rather than be cleansed by it. We've been as silent as a dark night when we should have been like a crackling fire, bringing comfort, warmth, and reassurance. Almighty and eternal God, forgive us, we pray, and kindle your flame within us. We thank you that you turn our darkness to light. Our sins are washed, and as white, we become white as snow. We thank you that you accept our repentance and send us on our forgiven way, walking with your Spirit within us. Amen. And we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I hope you can all hear me okay this morning. My voice is a little croaky after a week of having a bad cold. We now join together to sing number 1030, The Lord's My Shepherd.
The first Bible reading is taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 21 to 30. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his own way." Thanks be the Lord for his word.
And the second reading is taken from 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 1 to 13, called Love. I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Thank you, Father, for your word.
And Doreen and everyone else that's helped with the service this morning. Those two readings were lectionary readings for today. Hence why I grappled with them a little this week. So let's firstly think about the gospel reading. We read that in this chapter, in verse 15, that Jesus began to teach in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. He'd been tempted in the desert and was filled with the Holy Spirit and returned to Galilee. Then he went to Nazareth, where he was brought up. As you all know, synagogues were very important in Jewish life. And Jesus went to the synagogue, as was his custom. And the passage we read today begins with a typical event in ancient Jewish synagogue life. On the Sabbath, a preacher, not a rabbi, or some other formal religious authority, but a person known as a darshanim, a speaker or a teller who would read from the scroll and comment on the verses. This preaching style of Jesus' day was widely practiced, and it was expected by those listening that the speaker would take biblical verses literally out of their textual context, and would apply them to the religious, political, ethical questions of the day. Not unlike trying to preach now, as we're taught to try and make text and relevant to our lives today. So preaching then involved making the prophet's story alive for the day they were living in. So Jesus was there in his hometown on this particular day, and a synagogue leader handed him the scroll. Jesus finds the place where the reading from the week before had finished and reads from the words of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And in the Old Testament, that would mean to bring salvation. Jesus then rolled up the scroll and handed it back to the attendant. All eyes fixed on him. The people awaited his comments, his interpretation of these ancient words. What promise was he going to give them? Would he address the occupation, the oppression of the empire, or perhaps some of his own ministry that was gaining attention throughout the region? What would Jesus, their neighbour, say? Jesus might have taught on the wisdom of the old prophet. He may have said, in the past, our fathers and mothers envisaged a world of justice, freedom and healing. Abundant life in a land of milk and honey, as God covenanted with Moses. He might have elaborated on the world to come. He might have gone along with Isaiah, talking about the fulfillment of this glorious promise that one day the poor will be lifted up and captives set free and the blind will see. Instead, what does he say? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus was proclaiming himself as the one who would bring this good news to pass. But the people couldn't grasp it. I don't think I would have been able to. This neighbor, Jesus, a carpenter's boy, saying he was going to do that. And Jesus' remarks filled them with rage. He was saying that God sometimes chose out to reach the Gentiles rather than the Jews. He implied the hearers were as unbelieving as the citizens of the northern kingdom in the days of Elisha and Elijah. Notorious for its great wickedness, where the only ones touched were the widow in famine and Naaman the Syrian, the Gentiles. They were shocked. They were probably settling down to listen to an interesting interpretation of Isaiah, and they were shocked. What do you mean the Spirit of the Lord is here, now, today? That the poor hear good news, that prisoners are being released and the blind see, and the oppressed receiving justice. This is the year of the Lord's favour. What do you mean? Have you not been watching the news, Jesus? Are you not aware of how hostile things have become? There's more inequality than ever. People being treated unjustly. Illness, violence. Today, this now today is the kingdom of God. Today, I can understand them not appreciating Jesus' words. And with that, Jesus' furious neighbours tried to throw him off the cliff. And we hear he managed to escape and head back to Capernaum. We also read nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Our hometowns don't always want to hear what we have to say. Sometimes our loved ones, those closest to us, are like those that don't want to hear. Now moving on to our second reading, a very familiar one in Corinthians on love. I've taken a little bit of the background on the letter to the Corinthians from my study Bible, as I understood the example it gave quite well. And it suggests a chameleon on grass turns green. On the earth, it would turn brown. It adapts and changes to fit in with its environment. But it suggests the followers of Jesus are new creations, born of the Spirit, changed inside, but they were struggling to fit in with their environment. They clashed with the world around them. The Christians in Corinth were surrounded by corruption and sin, and their faith was being tested. Paul had heard of their struggles and wrote this letter to address their problems and try and heal their divisions. After a brief introduction in the first few chapters in this letter to the Corinthians, he addresses the question of unity. He gave practical ideas and addresses the subjects of women, the Lord's Supper, and spiritual gifts, all for another day. But sandwiched in the middle of all this is his magnificent description of the greatest gift, love. God's kind of love is directed outwards towards others, not inwards towards ourselves. It goes against our natural inclinations. And we need God's help to give this kind of love, so that we become more Christ-like, the more we show love to others. God gives us spiritual gifts for our lives on earth in order to build up, serve and strengthen other Christians. In eternity, we will be made perfect and complete and will be in the presence of God. We will no longer need those spiritual gifts. The Corinthians were all worked up over how right they were and how wrong others were. They were almost at the point of kicking people out whose opinions differed to theirs. And the early church was having arguments over how to celebrate the Lord's Supper, what to expect from their members, how to conduct themselves in worship. To their disagreements, Paul offered the solution of agape love. Agape love is deeper than mere friendship and is not romantic love. It is selfless, empathetic, has consideration for others. Today, our disagreements might be different ones than the Corinthians. But Paul points out that agape love is the greatest strategy in the world. We need to deal with disagreements and arguments in the context of this love. Perhaps Paul's message to a divided first century congregation can enlighten us today, and he gives some pretty clear guidelines of how to live together in community. In Paul's world view, love is the final test of whether something is worth dealing with, worth doing, worth spending time with. Love makes even the little courtesy worthwhile. And whether our actions are based on selfless, agape love is the true test of any act. But without love, not even self-sacrifice means anything. Love for the other must guide our actions. Unselfish love and consideration for those around us must determine how we act. So how do we pull those two readings together this morning? I thought long and hard about this. I've been full of cold all week, so didn't go out visiting in the care homes or visiting people. Had much more time at home. And I was able to watch the Holocaust Memorial Service and listened to the testimonies of those that survived. Past and future are important in vibrant communities. We must honour our ancestors and embrace a hopeful future. Believing the past is better or worse than either the present or the future is not necessarily helpful. And Jesus' message in the synagogue was that of today. Today is important. Today may insist we lay aside both our memories and our dreams to embrace fully the moment of now. However, we need to learn from the past and everybody's message in that service the other day. Was we must not forget. We must learn from and remember and take that hope and that agape love into the future. It must be the message of today. The prophets of old taught us God's message and faithfulness. Today places us in the midst of God's desire for this world. Today. Jesus essentially told his friends, look around, see the Spirit of God at work, right here, right now. God is with us. Just as I am, promised our father Moses at the burning bush, I will be with you, the sign of God's covenant. The ever active, ever loving, ever liberating, always present, God is here with us now. Today we're called to reach out to people who are not in our church. We need to share that agape love that we've just heard in Corinthians. Love is patient and kind. And we as a church can do much to remove the emphasis of me and you and direct our loving actions towards others. We must do whatever we can to make Christ known in this world. We can't delegate it to others, to this committee, that church, that meeting. Faith active in love is the very call of God. And every Christian must live out that love of God. Paul expressed it this way. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable, resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. In a very real way, the Spirit was upon Jesus. It was on his friends and neighbours too, because Jesus was one of them. By emphasising that word today, Jesus transformed Isaiah's words, Isaiah's prophecy, into a powerful invitation for the whole community to act on behalf of God's justice. The text may have been, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and therefore also with you, because he has anointed us to bring good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Let us live in God's promise, knowing it is for today that we need to be sent to those around us." Amen. In response, we sing number 27, "As the Deer Pants for the Water." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings upon each one of us. We ask that you take these tokens of our love for you, that they will be shared, that the love will be shared to all those around that need to hear of your kingdom and of your love. For we ask it through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Going to have our prayers of intercession, our prayers for others. There will be a time of open prayer when you can pray silently or out loud for people and situations that are close to your heart. After each section of the prayers, I'll say, "Lord, in your mercy, please respond with, hear our prayers." Jesus has promised us that if we ask, we shall receive. If we seek, we shall find, and if we knock, the door will be opened to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you in prayer, that we can put into words all the things that concern us and worry us. We know you hear us and that our prayers will be answered. We pray for our world. On Monday, we were able to watch the very moving ceremony at Auschwitz to commemorate the 80th anniversary of the liberation of that death camp. We hoped that mankind has learned a lesson, that atrocities will not be repeated. But very sadly, life isn't quite like that. There is still warfare and hatred and cruelty. We are relieved that there has been progress in returning hostages to their families, But there are thousands of people who have no homes to go to. There is still war in Ukraine. We just want there to be peace in these countries. We want people to be safe. We want solutions to be found without the use of bombs, missiles, or drones. Innocent people are being killed, and young men are dying as they fight for their country. If only all the money spent on armaments could be used for good things like education and healthcare and housing. Lord, we want truth and peace to prevail. Lord, in your mercy, we also pray for those caught up in natural and man-made disasters. We pray for the people in Los Angeles who are still reeling from the devastating fires that have destroyed hundreds of homes. We've been able to watch the fearful scenes on our televisions, but we're helpless to do anything. We pray for people in parts of Ireland and the United Kingdom who have suffered from floods, storms, and record-breaking winds, even a tornado in Cornwall. We know what sort of damage that can inflict on a community. We thank you for the police and emergency services who rescued people, helped them to evacuate, and organized shelter for them. We also think of the families of those who lost their lives in the air crash over Washington, D.C. Again, the fire and rescue services searched for victims in the Potomac River, but none could be rescued from the freezing water. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I've said it. Lord, in your mercy. Sorry, I read it all. We pray for our church family worldwide. We remember the plight of Christians in countries where it's dangerous to worship God openly. We pray for persecuted Christians. Give them courage to keep on serving you and keep us steadfast in our faith. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our church family closer to home. We pray for our superintendent minister, Dawn, for our ministers, Peter and Keith, who's come to St. Helier. Yes, he has. We pray for all retired ministers and our circuit pastoral workers. We pray for local preachers, our stewards and church officers, music group, worship leaders, technical helpers and Sunday club teachers. We thank you for messy church, messy bears and messy vintage. The Open the Door team who go into St. Mary's School. And we pray for the congregation at the parish church and the rector, Kirsty. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our families and friends. We thank you for the security of being part of a family, for the opportunity to celebrate special family events and anniversaries. Bless our family members who are in England or even further afield, and bless all those who will be travelling. We entrust them to your special care. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all members of our congregation. And we especially remember those who used to be part of our fellowship but are no longer able to worship with us due to frailty or ill health. We pray for God's healing touch to be upon them. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those undergoing medical treatment and for all who need healing. Give knowledge and skill to the doctors and nurses. And we thank you, Lord, for so many prayers answered. But we continue to pray for healing for all our church family and their families, as well as all known to us who are struggling with ill health. We pray that you will be with each one, giving healing and strength. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we lift to you those who have been bereaved. comfort them and give them strength at this difficult time. And I think particularly of the family of David Hewlin, whose funeral will be held tomorrow. Lord, in your mercy, please feel free to pray out loud or in your hearts for people and situations that are special to you. Amen.
We pray, Lord, for all young people suffering from anorexia, this dreadful disease that possesses their mind, that everything that will make them fat. We pray, Lord, that somehow they can be helped. And we particularly pray for the family we visited yesterday, whose granddaughter is in hospital and so thin. Lord, we do pray that your healing power will come upon all these young people and that they will see the light. Amen.
Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We sing our final for the 205 in the book, I Cannot Tell.
Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Lord, send your blessing down on us like snow. Deep snow, silent and gentle, covering all our fears and doubts, quietening our spirits. Send your blessing down on us like snow, a beautiful mantle covering every blemish, sprinkling on our hair like confetti, till we are pure and glistening white from head to foot. Send your blessing upon us like snow, gloriously like falling snow. Shower your joy into our hearts so that we may turn to you with laughter, so that our spirits may run and play like children in the snow, wading, rolling, sliding, gathering armfuls to throw into the air. Lord, fill our lives with your love, our very being with your blessing, like the beauty of snow. Amen. And shall we share the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. Mine didn't go very far, did they? I know.